Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series. And today we have with us the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Rule that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed blessed. As always, we are always blessed. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. Supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I do see the sisters. I'm going to ask them to unmute themselves, and we're going to bring the video up to there. And I think Hello. We've actually done it. Hello, Sister Gemma. Hello, Sister Teresa. How are you?
Can you hear us?
You?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Can
Wonderful.
You, what?
Little bit of an echo, but it's
I don't know how to set up the microphone and
Okay. We can try it. We've got a little bit of time. Bottom left hand corner, sister, you see a microphone icon.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and there's an up arrow just to the right of that icon. If you click on that, it should open up a table which allows you to select between microphones and speakers. And just make sure that the microphone you wish is selected. I'm hoping your view is the same as my view, because I've never listened to me from your perspective. But then again, if I was you, I wouldn't listen to me. It may give you more than one microphone option. Okay. So while you're trying to do that, and you may have to try all the different microphones. I'm not sure which is the model you're using.
Well,
it's back to what we had. I mean, again, we can deal with that, but it's so much nicer when we have that clarity.
Maybe you can wait a few seconds.
We can wait a few seconds. Even if you have to go out and come back in again, maybe sometimes that works. All right. So I'll start off with a question then. Well, maybe in Italy this may not go over very well because you may not get it. But I'll say that for later. I'll say that for later. It's an interesting little thing I heard. It's funny. But do you think you have to go out and come back in again, or you just want to just remain with what you have there?
I don't know how to put these things. Do you know how to do this? Maybe yes. So if we can disconnect for a second.
Okay. Yeah, and just come back. We have time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. No worries. That should be our worst problem. Okay. So then I can throw this in. Did everyone? I don't know if anyone realizes, but do you know baseball is represented in the gospel, in the Bible? Baseball. You just read the first page of Genesis. It says, in the beginning. Get it? Big, B-I-G, inning, I-N-N-I-N-G. The beginning. The beginning. Okay, no, that didn't go over too well. How about, okay, here's a question. When did God create Adam? Give up. Okay, when did God create Adam? Just before Eve. No. Okay. I'll keep my day job. But then again, I don't have a day job. Okay, well, I'll keep whatever I have. All right, so we're just waiting for the Benedictine daughters to come back, because it is so much better. Thanks, Dawn, for the smiley face. It's so much better. Beginning, I love it. It's so much better when we're not struggling to listen, and we've got that clear and crisp. Because I know the equipment in Italy is great. The studio we put together in in Tennessee is great. You know, the equipment's there, but sometimes we still have that uncontrollable effect of the internet. We don't know when it's pulsating, when it's going really well, when it's dissipating. So, you know, that's something that we just don't have control over. But I remember somebody telling me once, just be concerned of your sphere of influence. Your sphere of control is necessarily what we need to do, but the sphere of influence, of course, we have to acknowledge. And now our sphere of influence, actually, if you think about it now, has gone to everything. Because now that we've been given this gift that's transtemporal and eternal, the sphere of influence is everyone, every soul. All those souls past, all those souls present, and all those souls yet to be born, yet to be created. And it's just astonishing that we can do this in conjunction with God. Well, actually, God does this in conjunction with us for all souls. And this is for all of eternity. So it's only a matter of time. Everyone will be disposed. Everyone will desire this gift of living the divine. It's only a matter of time. It's God's time, of course. Okay. So I'm going to see if anyone sees the sisters. Let me just double check here. But it's clearly worth the wait. Welcome anyone joining us for the first time today. I see a few new names. And I know there's a few other cynicals that are happen to be timed to begin at the same time as this. So I understand that. And again, I think that's a good thing because I think it allows everyone to have more choice. You know, where do we need to be? Where do we want to be? And again, can't go wrong. It's divine will. You can't go wrong. I really love that supplication because when Louisa says, you know, it seems like there's something more surprising you wish to confide in me. Because again, it is surprising because the divine will is the full explication of everything already given. So even if we are well versed in something, we may not have the full truth of it. And just an example, without having any notes in front of me, I know we know that when Jesus went before Herod, and Herod was asking all these questions, are you the king? Are you this? Are you that? And remember, Jesus remained silent. He didn't respond. And many said, why didn't you respond? Why? You could have just said, I'm God. And you could have, you know, basically shut him up. And we just realized that, okay, and we're taught that, well, Herod didn't really want to know who he was. So Jesus remained quiet. And that's true. That's sort of part of the answer. But we learn from the divine will, the full explication of that exact scenario, it's a little bit more than that. Gosh, I don't know. I think it might be in volume. No, I don't even want to guess because I have it here somewhere. So I don't know where it is. Anyway, Jesus tells us that the reason why he remains silent, and again, this is just the oozing of love of God. He remains silent, yes, because he recognized that Herod really didn't want to know the truth. That's true. But the reason why he remained silent was because we are judged by how much we know. And he knew, Jesus knew that no matter how much knowledge Herod had of who Jesus was and is, he would have not changed his mind. So therefore, when it would have been the sealing of Herod's fate, the judgment, he would have been judged more severely. Because he would have known more and still did not respond to God. So Jesus, out of mercy for Herod, remained quiet and allowed Herod sort of just to sink in the hole he's in, but not allow him to dig the hole deeper, at least in this opportunity. I think it's wonderful. And this is just one example of all the explications, all the completeness of understanding, not the completeness of writing. Remember, there's nothing added. There's nothing subtracted. Same as the role of the mystics. They don't have to add or subtract anything. But the role of the mystic allows us to better understand something in a particular period of time. And those are really two very important, I think, components of our apologetics, not only for our Catholic faith, but for the divine will. And it's found in our catechism. It's Article 66 and Article 67. So if you want to just print that out, that's a great thing to have with you. Okay, somebody says, oh, divine will, no, nothing new, nothing new. No, it's not really new. I mean, it's new to us, but it's not new. So yeah, try to explain that. Try to explain that quickly. It doesn't go well sometimes. Okay, have the sisters come back yet? I don't see them. Okay, if you happen to do see them, just let me know. Because, oh, I do see Sister Gemma. Okay. Hey, Sister Gemma, unmute yourself. I don't have video, Sister Gemma, if you can hear me. But I do see, I see the camera joining, but not the physical people. That makes any sense. Okay, I'll ask Sister Gemma to unmute, and we'll take it from there. Today's a great day. You know, I was in church today and I was waiting. I don't know about you. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing, but went to Mass today and I didn't hear anything about the Feast of St. Michael. I didn't hear anything about the Feast of the Archangels. I said to them, no, we cannot hear you. But I could see you. All right, I may ask you to unmute yourself now. See if you unmute yourself, if that'll work. You see the request to unmute yourself, sister? If you do, that might work. If not, okay. I do, okay. Yeah, just unmute yourself because I think you're still muted. And once you unmute yourself, I'll be able to confirm if I hear you. I don't hear you up to this point. Still asking you to unmute yourself. So yeah, so I didn't hear anything about it, and I had to double check. I think today is the feast. I came home from church. I looked it up. I went to the Vatican website. Yes, today is the feast of St. Michael the Archangel and the Archangels. And what a glorious I don't see the icon at all. Oh, there it is. Okay. What a glorious opportunity we all have to have that that dedicated angel, that guardian angel. It's assigned to each and every one of us. Never leaving our side, never going to sleep, never taking a break. Always there to do the will of the Father. Again, sometimes even our guardian angel must adhere to God's mysterious permissible will. And sometimes not so good things happen to us for a greater good. Yeah, Clement said September 8th, nothing mentioned also. Yeah, so I don't know. Oversight? I'm not sure. But we know that Michaelmas, which they refer to, you know, Christmas, Michaelmas, Marymas, we went through that also. Try to mute us again. Okay, let me try that again. Let's see. Okay, I'm muting you now, sister. This doesn't work. We'll go back to where we were because we were better off then. But I mean, it's not your fault. Just things happen. Okay, so I've asked you to unmute yourself. And you want to try going back out and in again? I think that's what they may have done. Just double check here. Okay. Yeah, so there's a couple references in today's, in the Book of Heaven that references, you know, today's feast day. Well, not the feast day itself, but, you know, St. Michael and the Archangels. One is volume one, echoing Louisa's prayer. I think this is also contained in the Echo book. Let's see. Yeah, maybe I can just read a little bit of this. Okay, Louisa says, in volume one, again, there's no date in volume one. Oh, Jesus, how poor in light I still see myself in these arms of yours. Oh, please content me You who love me so much, continue to send me light. Oh, my son, my beautiful one, I want to enter right into the center that I may remain completely sunken within the most pure light. Oh, divine son, let this light precede me in front of me, follow me behind me, surround me everywhere. I love that phrase. And penetrate into every intimate hiding place of my interior, that my terrestrial being may be consumed and you may transform it completely into your divine being. Just glancing up to see the sisters. So, then she goes on to say, Most Holy Virgin, lovable mother, come to my aid. Well, this is a great passage to read this prayer. Echoing prayer. Come to my aid, obtain for me from your sweet Jesus and mine grace and strength in order to do this obedience. Saint Joseph, my dear protector, assist me in this circumstance of mine. Archangel Saint Michael, defend me from the infernal enemy who puts so many obstacles in my mind to make me fail this obedience. Archangel Saint Raphael, and you, my guardian angel, come to assist me and to accompany me, to direct my hand, that I may write the truth alone. May everything be for the honor and glory of God, and to me all a confusion. A holy spouse, come to my help. In considering that many graces you have given to my soul, I feel all horrified and frightened, all full of confusion and shame at seeing myself still so bad and unrequiting of your graces. But my lovable and sweet Jesus, forgive me. Do not withdraw from me, but continue to pour your grace into me, that you may take of me a triumph of your mercy. That's beautiful. Echoing prayer, echoing Louise's prayer from the Book of Heaven, Volume 1. Okay, I'll have to put that up on the website, or at least include it in the email, so we can go back to that. That's a beautiful prayer. Okay. Still looking for the sisters. Oh, there they are. Got it. Okay. Try to unmute now. Hello, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes. And then there was so light. Confused. And I mean, then there was sound. Yes. Beautiful. Wow. No,
you
that's okay.
Very hard for us because we are not technological at all. Okay, well, something with the microphone. Can you hear us like this without microphone?
Yeah, are you using the computer mic?
Yes.
You see, it's okay. Yeah, it's good. It's actually good. Better than that last mic version we had. Yeah, okay. We're
okay, good. Maybe wow. We can speak a little bit louder and...
Yeah, well, that's sort of speaking normally, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Speaking normally.
Yeah, that's
so sorry for the inconveniences.
No, that's okay. This is good. I got to read some stuff and got to tell a couple jokes. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the rest of the folks listening want to thank me, but I just thought it was just maybe an opportunistic time to switch vocations, but I would never make it as a comedian, that's for sure. Although if I come out on stage, I'd be laughable just in of itself. But anyway, how you doing, sisters? This is a great day. I was just talking, we were talking earlier about, you know, we went to church today, and I thought today was the Feast of St. Mark, Michael, and the Feast of the Archangels, and I heard nothing at Mass today, and I went home and I said, okay, let me check the Vatican website, and I think I'm correct. Today is the Feast of Saint Michael, right?
Gabriel and Raphael, the archangels.
Yeah. Okay, there was no mention of it today. Maybe it was just an oversight.
Because it's Sunday, usually Sunday takes priority.
Trump's, yeah, I know, but just as a second guess, just throw a little jab in there, just mention it. You know, it doesn't. You don't have to have the gospel reflected. But anyway, it's nice to remember these things. Is, you know, one thing I do forget very often is that we've all been given a guardian angel by God that is with us all the time, never sleeps, never takes breaks, never dozes off, never doesn't pay attention, always there for us. I mean, what a great, great gift that we receive. And knowing that angel will do everything possible to protect us and will do everything that we want, in essence, if it's good for us and if it's within the will of God. But if it's not the will of God, like, for example, when God's mysterious permissible will must allow something to happen so that we may be made better for it, will not cooperate. I mean, look at the angels around the Blessed Mother when Blessed Jesus was lost in the temple. She pleaded with the angels. We learned this in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. She pleaded with the angels, please tell me where my son is. And they wanted to so much, but they couldn't because the divine will of God said no. Because remember, in the mystical city of God, Blessed Mary Agreda, there's a little bit of that book that states that Jesus actually went to the Father, went to God the Father, and asked if he could subdue or even alleviate the suffering that his mother was going to endure. And the Father said, no, for her to be the complete and perfect mother, she must endure that suffering. So again, the angel's perfect example. A lady went to them, said, please tell me where he is. And as much as they wanted to, they could not because they had to do the will of the Father. We should be so disciplined. Sisters, it's just great to be together with you.
Yes, you told that before that they never leave us. And we are so different compared to them because usually we have good relations, friendships, but if something doesn't happen in a way that we like, all can change. But the angels teach us to keep our relations in a better and a different way. I can use this passage, is from volume 5, October 7, 1903. Then, finding myself in my usual state, I saw him for just a little, and he told me. So Jesus is telling Luisa, the angels, whether they obtain something or not, always do their office. They do not withdraw from the work entrusted to them by God of the custody of souls. Even if they see that almost in spite of their continuous cares, diligence, industries, and assistances, souls are miserably lost, they are always there at their places, nor do they give greater or lesser glory to God if they obtain or not obtain, because their will is always stable in carrying out the work entrusted to them. The victim souls are human angels who must repair, impetrate, protect humanity. And whether they obtain or do not obtain, they must not cease their work unless they were assured about it from on high. Speaking about angels, since the first volume, Jesus teaches to Luisa to have a model. The model is basically the Nazareth, because he told her to take one hand to Our Lady, to St. Joseph, and look at Jesus. So Jesus, Our Lady, between them, three of the Trinity on earth, and she has to take courage from the presence of the angels, because when she was little, she was always attacked from the devil by different kind of temptation, but especially with fears. And so Jesus teaches her, and through her to us, to take courage from the angels. So it's something we can grasp from them, but also they are a model for us. So we have to be more stable in relation because of our sanctity. Also, it's okay, but also because in one way, in divine will, we are cooperating to the work of reparation, and in a different proportion, we are in one way victim souls. We can offer our little sacrifices like a victim for others, for the salvation of other souls. And the characteristic of the victim souls is stability. So they are our help from heaven, but at the same time, they are our model.
I was just thinking about something. When you use the word stable, I was thinking about other words too, words that Jesus used, constancy, steadiness. It's lack of vacillating. It's sort of unchanging. And I think that's where we have to get to eventually to really perfect this gift of the divine will. I mean, because again, we're going to be easily distracted in the beginning because it's new to us. We're not going to have the grace and graces to be able to retain there when even more difficult challenges, because Jesus keeps increasing the magnitude of the challenges and obstacles so that we can be strengthened in essence. But so I think the takeaway here for me would be, as we're trying to gravitate toward being stable, constant, steady, and not vacillate, we have to be joyous, I guess, in our mistakes. I'm not saying be happy that we were foolish or reckless, yeah. But like picking up a couple
with
glasses.
Dignity.
Yeah.
With dignity.
But you drop something, you break it. I used to get mad at myself. Am I so perfect? I'm never going to drop something. We pick it up. We be more careful next time. So we learn. It's all lessons along the way. And I think by keeping our disposition, keeping our tone down, keeping our temper down, speaking to myself, of course, we can help with God ease in this transmutation to assist him and not fight back so much. Even if we don't think we're fighting back if we want to hang on to what we know, what we've been, or what we want to be. Great. That's good. That's a good passage, sister.
And
excellent.
Also, thinking of them, the angels, they help us. Yes, at the beginning, for taking courage, if they are our model, and they help us to have a good exercise of our mission or our ministry in the living of the divine will, and they take care of our life. There is a specific passages. First passage is from volume 11, 13, October 13, 1916. And Luisa say, I was doing the hours of the Passion, and blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, in the course of my mortal life, thousands of angels were the cortege of my humanity, gathering everything I did, my steps, my works, my words, and even my sighs, my pains, the drops of my blood, in sum, everything. They were the angels in charge of my custody and of paying me honor, obedient to my every wish. They will rise and to and descend from heaven to bring to the Father what I was doing. This is so they works with the humanity of Jesus. Now these angels have a special office, and as the soul remembers my life, my passion, my blood, my wounds, my prayers, they come around this soul and gather her words, her prayers, her acts of compassion for me, her tears and her offerings. Sometimes we do a prayer, what I'm doing, nothing. Oh, I'm crying, I'm so debole, weak. I'm so weak, also in a spiritual way, why I'm crying. I can offer also my tears, because it's an expression of my body, of what I'm feeling inside. And each part of my life can be offered to God for something that's more important. And also they unite them to mine. So Jesus received a double consolation, a double glory, because these angels worked directly with the humanity of Jesus. But now they work again with our actions, because we do a repetition of the act of the life, Jesus' life. So they works double, and Jesus received double consolation, double glory. So they unite them, so all the acts of our acts in divine will to mine, and they bring them before my majesty to renew for me the glory of my own life. The delight of the angels is so great that reverent they listen to what the soul says and pray together with her. So with what attention and respect must be the soul to these hours thinking that the angels hang upon her lips to repeat after her what she says. Also, if we do the hour of the Passion, I am alone. Yes, I can do in front of the Blessed Sacrament because I am in the presence of God. But whenever I am, yes, always we can be in the presence of God. But also the angels is totally dedicated to us. They wait for our compassion to Jesus, for unite them to us. And also I was thinking, this is for, they, so they keep our ministry. They help us to have a good, yes, to work well with what we have to do in the divine will, what is our mission, but also simple, in a simple way, in the life, the divine life in us. For volume 14. Jesus say, I place thousands of angels as custodians of one single act done in my will. In fact, since these acts done in my will are seeds, so that my will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, all are jealous of these acts. Their dew is my bread, their shadow is my light. The angels remain enraptured by them, and reverent they adore them, because in these acts they see the eternal will, which deserves all their adoration. And only when I find other souls who, picking them as divine fruits, make of them food for their souls, they are then are these acts left. Oh, the fecundity and multiplicity of these acts, the creature herself who does them cannot count them. So they take care of our ministry, our mission, because we have to give consolation to Jesus during the hour of the Passion. They were, we have to repeat the life of Jesus, but simple, doing one simple act in our ordinary life. They are waiting because they use this act. They see in our act the divine will. So it's not our act, it's an act in there is the presence of the divinity in this act. So they are always with us. And this is also, I think this is the last passages that I can share from volume 19, February 28, 1926. Because sometimes, okay, we can realize, okay, there is an angel with me, he will help me. Okay, he will take care of my mission. So he will help me to give consolation to Jesus. Okay, he will keep my ordinary life, because they can see in my single act the life of God. But sometimes also when we are we have a very good spiritual life, there are some moments that are critical, and we can receive temptation. Okay, yesterday was a very good day, today is a day no. What can I do? This is a temptation I can do. So I go to read the volume 19. It's here. Volume 19, February 28, 1927. I continued amid my usual fears and my always lovable Jesus making himself seen. All goodness told me, my daughter, do not lose time, because every time you occupy yourself with yourself, it is an act of my will that you lose. And if you knew that what it means to lose one single act in my will, you lose a divine act, that act which embraces everything and everyone, and which contains all the goods that exist in heaven and on earth. More so, since my will is a continuous act which never stops its course, nor can it wait for you when you stop with your fears, it is more appropriate for you to follow it in its continuous course, than for it to wait for you to place yourself on the way in order to follow it. And not only do you lose time, but having to pacify you and to raise you from your fears in order to put you on the way in my will, you force me to occupy myself with things which do not regard the supreme volition. Your very angel who is near you remains on an empty stomach, because every act you do in it as you follow its course is one more accidental, because accidental beatitude which he enjoys being near you. So they are working, okay, but they are waiting for enjoy, receiving beauty, receiving also they can grow in the grace in one sense. I don't use probably the correct words because I'm not a theologian, but they can enjoy this life that we can give to them. So every time we have a temptation, oh, I can do this, oh, do I have this trial, oh, so I stop my course in the divine will. I have to take conscience of this. My angels is waiting. I'm losing time. I have to fight the temptation doing ups and rounds.
Absolutely. I can assure you, you did use the proper terminology, the proper words, sister, please. And again, I'm still amazed. ESL, all three of you, and I would never think that English is your second language. But the acts and rounds you just mentioned, so vital, because again, Mother reminds us that the acts and rounds, that's our job, to repair and redo, acts and rounds. And now the angels, again, this full breadth of the explication, the understanding of our angels. Yeah, we always knew our angels were good, they were helpful, they were loving, they were always doing the will of the Father. But to carry forward what you just said, volume 29, April 16th, 1921, Jesus to Louisa, quote, are you using that?
Yeah, but say it. You can
no,
read
no, no,
it.
I won't use it then.
You can use it.
No, I'll comment when you use it later. Okay? Because I don't want you to have retribution on Radio Maria against me on that. No, I'm only kidding. But it's very true. Again, these angels, like you said, sister, are there waiting. And just like God gives us a gift, but he waits for us to take the first step. It's like a track meet. We're all at the starting gate. He cannot run the race for us unless we begin the race. Take the first step. Fall. It's okay. Take that first step and God will run the rest of the race. He needs to know, he needs to be comfortable that we have a desire. Not that he doesn't know. He knows before we even do it. But we have to know that we have that desire also, because we have to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that's why this knowledge, which keeps seeping out. In fact, go to Daniel, Daniel 12. He talks about in the latter times how the knowledge will be just overflowing. God just giving us these knowledges, these vital knowledges that we must have, that we must need, that we must use and listen to if we're going to get through this. Sister.
But also, I was thinking when you were speaking that it's important to be on the same frequencies. Because we don't see angels, we cannot hear them, but we follow them in the Holy Spirit through the inspirations, through our faith, giving time to prayers. So if we are not on the same good frequencies, we cannot understand what we have to do with them. So the beginning, basically, all this truth help us. To go in the good frequencies, so to stay awake, to stay, like Jesus say, always to Luisa, be faithful and attentive, but also in a good mood, not every time happy, no, but yes, in a good mood. And this is important. Okay, sometimes they give us consolation, because it happens, it's not under totally our control. So we are not without trial of test of our life. So there are some little moments that we need consolation, and they give to us little sign. They are near us. They give us consolation, but also the consolation is a way to be a remind for us. Oh, there is another dimension. I have to wake up. I have to stay with them. And also, yes, I receive a consolation. Thanks God is an opportunity to do another kind of thanksgiving and going on.
It makes me to remind me the relationship that Saint Gemma had with her guardian angel. She was seeing him. She was talking to him. The guardian angel was quite often appearing to her and correcting her to the things that she wasn't doing good. And also during the confession, a few times he appeared to her, maybe not a few times, I don't know actually how many times, but when she didn't confess well or everything, he appeared to her saying, if you don't say everything to the priest, I won't come to you anymore. And so in that way, he was encouraging her to go again to confession, and this is also we need to start to have a good relationship with our guardian angel, to talk to him, because he's there, he's always next to us, so we need to talk to him to have this friendly relationship with our guardian angel, because he wants the best for us and he's there to help us.
And look how God used that opportunity with Saint Gemma to actually have the guardian angel, you know, make himself seen, where almost all our situations, our guardian angel, we may feel his presence or her presence or its presence, but we don't see. So see how blessed are those who believe and do not see, but yet he wanted to show us so that unequivocally we know that there is a guardian angel, and don't be surprised if you cannot see your angel. In fact, I'm actually more comforted that I cannot see, because a lot of times I'm embarrassed when the angel has to get involved. I've probably done something I should have done. But anyway, so God has given us, that's why this is the 6,000 years that God said he had to wait till everything was there for our disposal. Every time we had a doubt or a quirk or some question about the divine, where we can go back in time, we can go back in history, go to the saints, the magisterium, the doctors, the patristics, it's going to be found somewhere. That's where the divine will is Catholic. That's where the divine will is grounded in our Holy Mother Church. So I thank you for reminding us of that beautiful situation where God allowed the guardian angel to be seen. Wow, this is incredible.
So Peter, I want to read this passage that you wanted to steal from me.
Okay, we'll do that right after we come back from this break. So you're listening. I'm only kidding.
Okay.
No, it's an inside joke. It's every time we're on Radio Maria, Sister Elizabeth gets the microphone when there's like 1 minute to go before the break or 30 seconds to go before the break. I feel really bad.
I believed it. I was like, oh, again?
No, I'm sorry. I was cruel. Sorry about that. But sister, take it away.
Yeah, so it was interesting for me, really, this passage. I remember it from before. So we were talking about guardian angels. And it says in the volume 29, April 16, 1931, how Luisa had six guardian angels and Jesus was at the head of them. And then also there's a beautiful, beautiful meditation here about the courage. So in this passage, it says this, courage is of resolute souls, six angels with Jesus at the head of them, and how the acts done in the divine will are pledges of infinite value, eternal bonds, chains not subject to breaking. So Luisa saying, my life continues under the empire of the eternal fiat that envelops me inside and outside of me and makes me feel its infinite weight. And I, like an atom, remain enveloped by this infinity that has no limits. And as much as I love it and long for it, I feel vividly the pain of my human will, crushed and almost dying under the empire of a divine will, immense and eternal. My Jesus, help me and give me strength in the painful state I find myself in. My poor heart bleeds and seeks a refuge in so many pains. You alone, my Jesus, can help me. Oh, please, help me, do not abandon me. And while my poor soul was pouring itself out in sorrow, my sweet Jesus made himself seen in my interior, crucified with six angels, three on the right and three on the left of his adorable person. Each of these angels held a crown in his hands, studded with most refulgent gems, in act of offering them to our Lord. I remained surprised in seeing this, and my beloved Jesus told me, "Courage, my daughter, courage is of souls resolute to do good. They are imperturbable under any storm, and while they hear the roaring of the thunders and lightnings to the point of trembling, and remain under the pouring rain that pours over them, they use the water to be washed and come out more beautiful. And heedless of the storm, they are more than ever resolute and courageous in not moving from the good they have started. Discouragement is of irresolute souls who never arrive at accomplishing a good. Courage sets the way. Courage puts to flight any storm. Courage is the bread of the strong. Courage is the warlike one that knows how to win any battle. Therefore, good daughter, courage, do not fear. And besides, what do you fear? I gave you six angels for your custody. Each of them has the task to guide you through the interminable ways of my eternal volition, so that you may requite with your acts, with your love, what the divine will did by pronouncing six fiats in creation. So each angel is entrusted one fiat, and what came out of this fiat? To call you to requite each of these fiats, even with the sacrifice of your life. These angels gather your acts and form with them a crown, and prostrate they offer it to the divinity as requital for what our divine will did, so that it may be known and form its kingdom upon earth. But this is not all. I myself am the head of these angels, guiding you and watching over you in everything, and forming in you the very acts and that love that is needed so that you may have sufficient love to be able to requite so many great works of our supreme volition. Therefore, do not stop. You have much to do. You have to follow I who never stop. You have to follow the angels because they want to fulfill their task entrusted to them. You have to fulfill your mission of daughter of the divine will." So I really, really like this passage. And first, it gives you courage. He talks a lot about courage. And it's such a beautiful image when it says how courageous souls at the storms, at the lightnings. So they don't get afraid and hide, and but they use it to wash themselves to be even more purified. So it's really, really a beautiful imagery how like tribulations serve to purify us as a gold is tried. Because yes, really, if we would just be like waiting, like to see, okay, maybe this is from God, this is not from God. Of course, there needs to be discernment, but God gives grace in the moment, like many vocations for that reason, I believe, like, because God gives a grace for that moment. And then if a person waits like years and years, you know, somebody even 10 years or 15, the grace was in that specific moment. The later it goes, it will be more and more difficult. Like what I want to say, not everything is like this works of God like this. Not everything is done like in this like administrative way, so to say. So and then when Luisa had this these doubts, and she was thinking that Jesus abandoned her, but so Jesus showed her the showed himself crucified, and then with three angels each at but three at the right and three at the left side, and Jesus was at the head of them. And so, like Sister Teresa was saying at her meditation, it was just amazing for me to hear how thousands of angels are hanging upon our each act in divine will, each act of divine will, like they are, you know, waiting to see it accomplished and to protect it, to watch over it. So that's what tells us how magnificent, how immense is each act done in divine will. And then another beautiful thing later in the volumes, it's, I think it's in the 35th volume, one of my favorite passages, how God will give at the ending of times, he will give a privilege to Our Lady that she forms the nine choirs, new nine choirs of angels, like the children living in the divine will. And also something like, if I remember well, now I don't have the passage, the places that remained empty because these angels have fallen and became demons, they will be replaced with souls living in divine will. I mean, that was just mind-blowing.
Really is. Where I was going to interrupt you and steal your thunder and read that passage, I wasn't going to read all of it. I was going to read just a little snippet of it. But because of Sister Teresa, when she was talking about, you know, the role of the angel, and then I started to think about, I still can get out of my mind. I know I've mentioned it every time we've visited, but I think it's in volume 34, where Jesus gives us that visual as to what happens when we call the divine will, like, come divine will, wash in my washing. The Father looks within himself. He calls the sacristan Trinity into huddle, into caucus, so to speak, to a group, huddle. He amasses all imaginable and possible graces, then bilocates them, transports them into the soul for that act. Okay, so then if we stop there and then we run to volume 29, April 16, 1921, we get the continuation of that you just read, sister. Quote, these angels gather your acts and form with them a crown, and prostrate, they offer it to the divinity as requital for what our divine will did, so that it may be known and form its kingdom upon earth. So they're getting directly involved. So they're getting directly involved in the generation of accidental glory, working side by side with God, and to know that these are the angels that are constantly around us, constantly being glossed over, ignored, perhaps even not even believed. And that's the duty. And they will never give up on us because they're doing the will of the Father. They will not withdraw unless the Father takes them back. And again, this is just so incredible. And however deep we've all fallen in love with God, how could you not go even more over the edge and go deeper and fall deeper in love with our Lord? And what he's done, how he set everything up so sequentially, and he's done it so simply that we can understand it. And Sister Teresa, you don't need to be a theologian to explain what you did. So, brava, brava.
Faith is enough.
Faith is enough. Well, faith in volume two, faith equals God. That's the language of heaven. Yeah. So very easy.
Faith is so cool.
It's all here.
I was thinking of Sister Gemma. She has the name of this big saint. And one time we went in Lucca to visit the place where she lived. And the guide told us the story that one time the angel appeared to her, and he asked her, "Can you kiss me?" And she ha sputato, come si dice?
Saint Gemma spit on him.
Yeah, Saint Gemma spit on him. He said, "No, I kiss only Jesus."
And another story of the guardian angel with Saint Gemma. The guardian angel, one morning, he brought coffee to Saint Gemma when she was in bed.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. I no. want that too.
But the other one, it was also the story that she wrote the letter. She was called the poor Gemma, la povera Gemma, because she has no money, and she needs to send the letter to her spiritual father. And the angel take care of this was Postino, the Emilia.
The postman,
yeah. Because she gave the letter to him, the angel, and the angel gave to the spiritual father. But we use internet now.
yeah, instead of horse and buggy, yeah, I agree. Although I wish the horse and buggy would come back.
Okay, I think the sister in San Marino are almost there. I think
they just told me they are here. I'd like to just mention something that I read. I think this was issued by the association. I don't have a date though, but they were talking about Father Maria del Eldorado Campe. I think it is. He's the priest in the Fiat Totus Tuus community.
What is the name?
Father Pio Maria
Ciampi. Pio Maria Ciampi.
Okay. He said that, quote, living in the divine will and knowing the writings of the mystical servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, a Dominican tertiary, is the most powerful exorcism that any other prayer for liberation and it has resounding effectiveness, end quote.
Yeah,
he's in charge of the.
Because he's an exorcist.
Yeah,
it's an exorcist
for him to say that.
Yeah, and, it's strong. And
Father Iannuzzi also. He was the assistant to the late Father Gabriel Amorth, the chief exorcist of the room. Yeah. So he also understands that. Again, understands this.
Yeah, because we are not able to see the light that is in us and around us. But the devil is fleshed by this light.
Yeah, blinded by the light.
Blinded, yes.
That was a song back in the 70s. I don't know who sang it though, but anyway. You're too young to remember that song.
Flesh. What is
Blinded by the light. I forget. Yeah, look, it's probably not a great song, but anyway, I just remember because we used to play it. I used to be in a band many, many years ago when I was a young little boy.
You used to be in a band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I told you once before, my father was Frank Sinatra's first drummer.
Oh,
wow. In New Jersey, yeah. They were like 15 wow. years old, 14 years old, yeah. I have a couple of pictures somewhere. Yeah, interesting.
Oh, music is in your blood.
It is. And my father couldn't read music. I can't read music, but I can play any song. I mean, I may not be able to play it well, but I can play it just all by ear. I can't read it.
You know.
I didn't pay attention when I was in school. I was a very poor student. I was distracted easily. But sisters, thank you so much for the time. I mean, your sharing was incredible. I know you don't prepare, you don't coordinate, but everything just seemed to just flow. I mean, it just kept going around and around and beautifully, I mean, connecting to everything we were saying. So
I'm sorry for the inconvenience at the beginning.
Oh no, that's nothing. That's nothing.
We try to be more to practice more our computers.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It gave me a chance to tell a couple jokes. That's okay. We're fine.
Yeah, God wanted you to tell.
And I failed miserably. So thank you for that opportunity.
So even
let me see. Let me see if I can find the sisters so we can do a. Can do a sensible transfer of power here. Okay. Hello, sisters. Okay. Let's see. Hi, Sister Gloria's back.
Back.
How about that? And then there were three. Well, I don't know if we can top that. Boy, those sisters over there, they were on fire today.
And where is the postulant? Where is the postulant?
She's asleep upstairs.
Oh, that's
the postulant she's talking about, right?
Yeah.
She's asleep upstairs.
Is that Anna still there?
No. That's what I thought she was talking about. No,
Anna went home. From Austria, she went home. So who's here now?
So it's just us three. And Lily May, our postulant.
Okay. And Lily May is from where?
She's from Rimini. Rimini.
Yeah, Rimini.
She's from the
Rimini.
Shelter. She's our pet. She's our dog.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, she's the shelter. The shelter sister.
She was homeless and we adopted her.
Yeah.
But she'll always be a postulant because she's black.
But if she's black and white, then she should be Dominican, no?
Huh? Yes.
Yeah. I think she's Dominican. But you can always convert her. just get her mother to release her vows. That's all. But this is one of Happy Feast Day, sisters.
Happy
Feast Day,
sisters.
Bye.
Bye,
sisters.
Good
bless everyone. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sisters. Bye. We lost the visual. How come I lost the visual there? One of these days I'll learn how to work this equipment, but it's so nice to see you, sisters. Yeah, it was just great. I mean, today fell on a Sunday, I was told, and reminded that, there was no mention of the feast day today at our Mass. Yeah. I wish there was, because, the angels are so powerful, so important. And, Sister Gemma gave us enlightenment. I didn't know this, but that Saint Gemma, actually, her guardian angel actually made visible to her.
Yeah.
And most times, I mean, we hear that, they're invisible, through faith, Jesus says, you believed, you did not see. But that's nice also to just, to confirm it. So if there's any doubt, we can say, go to St. Gemma. Her angel was there visibly, true. I think, brought to the Eucharist.
And he would even take messages to her spiritual director. She would write letters and the angel would take it to the spiritual director.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're real. They're real. And they really perform an incredibly difficult task, because many times, like the angels we mentioned about when Jesus was lost in the temple. Remember when Blessed Mother was basically petitioning with the angels, please tell me where my son is. And I'm sure they wanted to. They couldn't wait to, but they couldn't, because the will of the Father was that she needed to endure that suffering. Just to make her the complete mother.
We don't ask for their help as much as we should. They're just there waiting to help us.
I agree.
It was, there was a beautiful thing the other day. Anna had a friend of hers that came, and he was in Mass with us, and we took him to speak to the priest that was there. He's a Capuchin. He's an elderly priest. And he he's on this faith journey. He didn't really, he was baptized, catechism, all of this, but it was just like going through the motions. Yeah, it was a tradition. Yeah. So that his family, he doesn't come from a family who practices faith or anything. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's very philosophical and he has all these questions and so this priest is, this Capuchin, he's elderly, he's got back pain and he's in his little walker and he's suffering through the whole Mass all the time. He's like a Padre Pio. Anyway, so then we talked to him, we asked him, do you mind talking to this guy? He has all, and he's got like he's studied at the he studied at the Angelicum. He was a teacher at the university. So he studied all this. He's just super intelligent. And so he said, yes, bring him here. So they were talking and it was funny because I was at the beginning because we were helping him out, cleaning up his apartment or his room. It was a big room.
So in other words, you were eavesdropping?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
At the beginning, then I left.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Just at the beginning.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to share the story. That's good.
Because he was, we had introduce him and stuff. So, he was asking him these questions that I couldn't really hear. And then he looks at him, he goes, my son. He's like, do you know anything? Do you know what the incarnation is? And he says, no. I mean, he really didn't know anything. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I was like, okay, so let's hurry up and let's finish the curtains. We put up the curtains because we washed and ironed them.
So we
did that and then I left. Well, then later she comes back. After 20 years, he made a confession with him. Wow. And so it was really beautiful. And we were at the table talking with them. We had breakfast talking with him. That morning and he was just the difference in his face, then this came out because we're talking about the angels, but I was telling him about his guardian angel and he was saying, well, can I name, does it have a name? I was like, only God knows their names because God is the Father and he created them and only the source of authority can give the name, because like the parents can name their child. We didn't create the angels. Mm. The Lord created the angels, so we can't name the angels. So anyway, we were talking about that, and it did make me think, because I remember, I forgot where I read it. There was probably an angel book many years ago. And it said, you know, the Lord gave all of us a guardian angel. And what is a guardian angel? But like this huge, massive bodyguard. Mm. And like, why do you need a huge bodyguard? Because the Lord knows what's after you, you know? So, you know, we need to put them to work. They're just waiting for us, you know, ask for their help. My sister had, you looked up the angels for the day.
Oh yeah, I did actually. Yeah. Because, like you, Peter, I was actually a little disappointed this year in the month of September on three separate Sundays, because it was a Sunday. we have not been celebrating masses or praying the office for the birthday of Our Lady of Sorrows. And now the three archangels. I was saying that to the Salesian priest. He's the one who comes here to celebrate the mass at the Basilica every Sunday at 11. And he also was like, I know, you know, like, but it's very true. So anyway, yes, I do. It was a practice I've always done since I was a child, like looking up each day, like the saints, jogging my memory or reading about a saint I'm not familiar with for the day. And it was interesting that we discovered, like, we were we know this, but it just really hit us that the three archangels, we celebrate them today, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So Raphael only popped up in the Bible in the Old Testament, which we know the book of Tobit. And then we realized also that Saint Michael only popped up in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. Gabriel is the only archangel who appears in both the Old and the New Testament. So that's very interesting that the angel who was assigned, if you will, to take part in the great mystery, you mentioned that encounter yesterday with Anna's friend, the incarnation, like the Father Marco asked about the incarnation. Well, imagine the angel who was assigned to get that going on, let's say, with us here on earth. Like, they said that he was the one who went to Zechariah in the temple and telling him that, okay, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. You got to name him John. So that really started there. Wow. And then he pops up in the Annunciation. And you said that, need I say more what he does there? And then I don't remember where I got this, so don't quote me, because like I said, I can't remember where I got this from, but there was someone, I'm not sure if it was a mystic or someone, had said that it was possible that Gabriel was also the angel who told Saint Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, warned them to leave Bethlehem before the slaughter of the holy innocents, and was telling them, you can come back now from Egypt, it's over and done with. So, I mean, if that's true, like I said, I don't remember where I heard that from. So it might be true, might be false, or I don't have a reliable source. Yeah, but, or it might be private revelation. I don't know. But imagine how busy and how important Saint Gabriel was for the whole nativity story, if you will. Like he was the angel assigned for all that. And look, that was the beginning of our redemption. It was that. It was the precursor of Christ, Saint John the Baptist. And he's a big deal for us in the church. And then the coming of Jesus also. So imagine, that's huge. But he pops up, believe it or not, first in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. So that's very interesting. The angel who was selected to bring about the story of redemption, our redemption for humanity, God sent him to the prophet Daniel and one of the visions. So I just thought that that's very interesting. Like, why him going to Daniel, you know, and he's the one who had a hand in the nativity story. So I don't know about that. That's something that I still need to, like, you know, contemplate, read again, and meditate on. But I didn't get that far yet. So I'm just saying something that I didn't finish coming across, but still, I just found, but that's my question right now that I need to look and pray about, is why was it Gabriel who pops up in the book of Daniel and is was sent from God to speak to Daniel and that whole part about the vision and whatnot. So I'm very curious to go back and reread the book of Daniel to kind of see what's going on there. But yeah,
it gave you a reason to do so. It gave you reason to do so. And while we're on Daniel, I want to just throw this out there. Daniel 12, 4 and 10, just read that about, you know, how the knowledges will be in superabundance. I'm paraphrasing, you know, in those latter times. Again, these are the truths, the knowledges that the gift of living the divine will is being divulged to us, again, in these latter times. So very interesting, in the book of Daniel 12, 4 and 10.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Thank you, Peter. I will look into that. Yes. But it's just interesting how, again, going back to when you were mentioning about not really being able to celebrate the feasts today of the archangels. And then I was mentioning these other two feasts.
Yeah, our mother too. Yeah, that was
yeah,
hard.
Our lady.
Maybe that was our privation. Maybe that was our suffering. I don't know.
Yes, exactly. But on the other hand, though, it goes to show you how September is actually quite a busy month in terms of the liturgical calendar. So it's very enriching this month. So think about it also. It occurred to me just now, we have like Our Lady of Sorrows. We mentioned this earlier, maybe Our Lady of Sorrows and the Exaltation of the Cross. You have, who else? Oh yeah, the Korean martyrs. We got the Korean martyrs. That's huge. So in the month of September, there is a lot about suffering, if you will. So you're right. In a sense, this year, we're kind of being asked to suffer, if you will. Like we are suffering in the privation, like you had said, of not celebrating the Mass, not celebrating the offices and whatnot. But at the same time, though, it's like in heaven, they don't mind because they're glorifying God, and to them, God is everything as it should be. And we're as it should be for us too. And we're getting there to get to that point. But it's just beautiful how, in a way that, you know, like when you have God, nothing else matters because he's all, he's everything. Right. So, and I was thinking also that, again, when I had mentioned before about how the 14th and the 15th of September, you have first the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and then we talk about Our Lady of Sorrows. If you think about it, we celebrate the three archangels on September 29th. Then 3 days later, if you will, it's kind of like the Triduum, if you will. 3 days later, we have the feast of the guardian angels, October 2nd. So again, I can't help but think the church, in her infinite wisdom, designated the liturgical calendar that way. That first we celebrate like these major, like big shot, if you will, angel saints. But then we have the unspoken heroes, if you will, like you were saying, like we don't really pray to archangels, to our guardian angels as we should, you know, because they are very, it's true, they are our bodyguards. They have been assigned to us since our very existence, each one of us. Like how God made each of us unique in his own image and likeness, each of us have been given a unique guardian angel for us, who we are their mission for our whole earthly lives. So I just think that that's amazing that we celebrate the archangels, which is the eighth choir out of the nine choirs of angels. Then the guardian angels make up the ninth choir of angels. So that was also interesting how we can, during this week, we can think about the angels. I think I heard a little snippet of what Sister Elizabeth was talking about. And it's so true. It's amazing how much that we don't know about the angels, like in a way, because it's such a mystery for us. So I have to say that is one thing that I would be really looking forward to when the time comes, you know, like to be able to go to heavens. Like we can really get to meet and get to know all about these angels, like, you know, like because there's myriads and myriads of them. And imagine, like, it's like I said, it's a mystery for us humans, but so many times in history, we know that they have been present. When God allows it, they make themselves known to us, whether physically or they intervene. And So that would be something amazing to see also. Once we're in heaven, we can see, we can go back in history, because when you're with God, like him, like we're going to be out of time because we're dead mm-hmm. already. So we're mm-hmm. in heaven, so we're out of right. time. We can right. see, we can go back in time, and we can see in a way how much the angels have been helping us, you know, throughout history or even in our own personal lives. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I'm looking forward to when we reach the other side.
Yeah. And one thing that was startling to me when I read it again, I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. Was anyone going to read from volume 29, April 16th, 1921?
No.
Okay. That's part of what Sister Elizabeth read. And again, this is that continuation of what we learned in volume 34 when Jesus says, you know, when we call the divine will into our acts, what happens? The Father looks within himself, gathers the sacrosanct Trinity, amasses all the graces, imaginable graces, transports it into our body. That's how he divinizes our act. Then actually, volume 29, April 16th, 1921, picks up from there. And this is Jesus to Louisa. He says, quote, "These angels then gather your acts and form them with a crown and prostrate. They offer it to the divinity as requital for what our divine will did, so that it may be known and form its kingdom upon earth." End quote. So the angels are directly responsible for once God divinizes that human act, to taking it, offering it as requital, and sort of making things anew. So they basically put the icing on the cake. How great. What an explication to recognize how deeply involved they are, not just in everything, but in the divine will itself. Amazing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share just a little part of this passage because we don't have much time, but in volume 11, this is, I'm just going to share the last part of it, November 20th, 1914. Jesus is talking about to Louisa about how the divine will and love form the life and the passion of Jesus in the soul. And he tells her, "I give you two very great things which one can say formed my very life. My life was enclosed in these two points, divine will and love. And this will carried out my life in me and accomplished my passion. I want nothing else from you but that my will be your life, your rule, and that in not one thing, whether small or big, you escape from it. This will carry out my passion in you. And the closer you remain to my will, the more you will feel my passion within you. If you let my will flow as life within you, my will make my passion flow within you. So you will feel it flowing in each of your thoughts, in your mouth, you will feel your tongue soaked in it, and your word will come out warm with my blood, and you will speak eloquently about my pains. Your heart will be filled with my pains, and in each of its outpourings, it will bring the mark of my passion to your whole being. And I will keep repeating to you always, here is my life. Here is my life. I will delight in giving you surprises, narrating to you now one pain, now another, which you have not yet heard or understood. Aren't you happy?" So this touched me because it's divine will is about the will of God and love, you know. And we were listening to this video about the souls in purgatory and about what is the suffering, the greatest suffering in purgatory, or what suffered the most, is the sins against charity. You know, they're so offensive to God. It's, you know, he was explaining how, you know, the sins of, you know, like, adultery or, these bigger sins that these mortal sins that takes you a while to get there, you know, that it's not something that maybe you can commit just every day, but the sins of charity, sins of lack of charity, sins of the tongue, you know, we can easily just slip into that, you know. So,
slip of the tongue, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something that it made me think, you know, and if in the divine will is will of God and love, you know, we have to have We have to be cautious, be aware of that. The lack of charity or saying something could really hurt somebody. You know, many people have to go to therapy for years for something that's maybe a parent said to them, you know. So
and the coverage sister of that charity is so wide too. In fact, Jesus, yeah. I think, says that any of the virtues when exercised, if it lacks charity, is invalid. It's a false virtue.
Yes.
As good as it may be. Charity must be the driving force behind it. It makes sense because it crowds out all the other superficial things, I guess.
Exactly.
And St. Paul, remember what he said about love.
Yes,
you know?
True.
It's so true. Even St. Paul recognized how important charity was.
Welcome back. And we'll be very charitable to welcome back Sister Gloria. It seems like you've been gone for years, but I know you've only been gone for about a month.
It's been a long time. Glad to be back and to be with you. Today, I want to share about the importance of abandonment and also the effects of emerging ourselves into the will of God. This is from September 3rd, 1919. So Luisa, she was lamenting for her state, poor state. And like she thought she was a useless being, you know, doing nothing, doesn't do anything good. And then she was asking Jesus, what is my life good for? You know, and many of us, you know, we ask the same question to the Lord, what is the purpose of our life and what's the good use of our life? And Jesus here, he says amazing thing to all of us. And he says, my daughter, the reason for your life.
You don't know the volume.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. My daughter, the reason for your life is known by me. It doesn't befit you to investigate it. Rather, know that just by merging yourself in me every day and several times a day, you are helping to maintain the level of reparations. This is because just by entering into me and taking from me the beginning of all that she does, for example, the beginning of each activity, the soul can bring into balance the reparations of everyone and everything. Due to an eternal beginning, an eternal will, she can bring into balance the glory of the Father on behalf of mankind. Being in me, she can bring everything into balance, satisfaction, reparations, and the complete glory due to the Heavenly Father in the name of all. Thus, as you enter into me, you restore the equilibrium of reparations and the glory of the eternal majesty. And does this seem little to you? So this is Jesus asking Luisa. Yes, it seems, you know, like we don't see what's happening in our spiritual life.
I just wanted
spiritual life and the left spiritual level, but he says when we are emerging into the will of God, when we are entering into the will of God, we are making that, restoring that equilibrium of the reparations, the glory, and the complete love, and you know, the void. So when the will of God is in our soul as the center, it is the will that breathes, that palpitates, that works things and loves, because we are putting the will of God in the center with our desire, because we want to, like in the beginning of the morning of the day, we put all our activities in, like spiritually and natural things and big and small and everything while we be doing that day. We're putting everything in the will of God in that realm. And then we're asking God to be in that, all that activities, and to do everything with us. And so when the will of God, when Jesus is doing together all our activities, it becomes divine, because it is his will that breathes. It is his will that works. It is his will that thinks, loves, and acts. And of course, we forget, but by doing the actual act, by calling Jesus into every action that we are doing, maybe even when we are taking shower, we can say, Jesus, I'm putting this action, like shower, in your will, or even our eating, thinking, working, everything, just put everything at that moment, just enter it into the will of God, and then call Jesus and do it together with him, and he will make it divine. Because he said, just desire it, just want it, and I will take care of the rest. So we got to trust in him and just abandon all our worries and our impossibilities in God. And then he said, each time our will desires to form an act, it causes us to generate new joys, new blessings, new happiness. We're forming immense seas of new happiness, which is around the blessed in heaven, who remain enraptured in this joy. So when we are doing the acts in the divine will, Jesus said that it is the will of God. It is creating new life, new blessing, new graces, and new happiness. We don't see it, but the blessed in the heaven, they are enjoying these. So while we are here on earth, we can give this great pleasure to God, even though we don't realize it, we don't feel it, but it's not based on our emotions or feelings. It is based on the faith in God. We are based on the trust. So we are cooperating with the Lord in the divine will. And in our actions done with Jesus, it becomes divine. It is what Jesus said. So it is not us doing it, because it is Jesus who is doing this. That's why it becomes a divine act. So we can give great pleasures to God. And Jesus said that it is the same glory that he received from the blessed in the heaven. But actually he said, I take more pleasure from us because we are doing with suffering and with no delight. And as a, you know, of course we are tested. Sometimes we run into difficulties and trials in our life. But divine will is not a magic word, of course. By living in the divine will doesn't lessen or alleviate the pains and sufferings that we encounter in our life. But it helps us to go through, experience these sufferings and endure this on a higher level, like in a better way. Yes, so I met Father Yojo in Medjugorje, and he was suffering a lot. He was the main pastor of Medjugorje when the operation started in 1981, and he was arrested by the communist government, and he was in prison for 1.5 years. He suffered a lot. He got tortured. He got beaten every day. He got cursed. You know, even his life was threatened so many times. But then during the stay with him, the press conference on the spiritual experience of Medjugorje was held. And I witnessed, you know, that his life, because he said, all my life is Medjugorje, about Medjugorje. But I witnessed somebody who truly knew the value of suffering and endured it because he wanted to do the will of God. So it really encouraged me that when we are doing this together with Jesus, knowing that even though we don't see this life, but we know truly when we are doing it in the will of God, uniting with our abandoning ourselves in the will of God, yes, it bears tremendous fruits, spiritual fruits. And I know that Jesus will do everything together with us as long as we call on him.
Amen. Amen. Sister, while I have you with the microphone there, I just want to ask you a quick question. Has there been any comments from the South Korean bishops regarding the divine will now that the church has given its seal of approval, the Nihil Obstadt? Has there been any reconciliation? No. Any
I heard that the bishops went to, actually every 5 years they go to Rome, you know, for meetings. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, they weren't able to. So only after 9 years they finally visited to Rome this time. I think it was in September. And I also heard that they they were planning to visit the dicastery of the saints. So I wonder, you know, maybe they ask about, you know, the causes of Luisa and, you know, about the divine will. Yes, but I didn't hear anything whether, yes, things are clarified.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we should hear something. This is a very difficult situation for them, for the bishop in Colorado Springs, for anyone who's spoken negatively of the divine will. They're going to have to recapitulate and do a mea culpa here, but that's not always easy. But to continue on their road that there's error and there's things of this nature, they're going to have to show proof. And right now, the church has proven to the world that there is no error in regarding morals within the Heilopstadt. So again, they're in a tight squat here. And we hope that they can come out and at least say, you know, even if they don't use the words we were wrong, because it would be terrible to deprive people of this beautiful gift because of an erroneous or an overprotective decision that you made.
He said he was gonna read the Divine Will books and the Virgin Mary and Passion book of Luisa Picaretta, but after the document was, you know, published by the Korean bishops, they threw away all the books they had of Luisa Picaretta. But I think this is kind of like generally happening in Korea.
We're praying for Korea, and we're praying for the bishops, and we're happy that they be enlightened. That they be enlightened. So we pray for them every day.
It's difficult times, but it's the greatest of times. It really is.
Amen. That's true.
God just keeps surprising us. So, any final words, sister? We've got maybe a minute or so left.
If you have any final words, sister. Anybody?
Final words. I want to say this. I just came back from Medjugorje. But love Our Lady. Pray the rosary every day. Just like the divine will acts, all the acts form, and divine will gives us new blessings and new graces. But also the rosary. Each bead is like an oil drop that pours into the Lamb. And each bead, when we say Hail Mary, it is new grace, new creature, new blessings.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I would say thank God for your guardian angel today, and for all the angels, and offer acts of love, and you could take all the acts of the angels, because they're faithful to Jesus all the time. You could take all of them and in divine will just put your I love you on them, give them back to God, and that they receive accidental glory in heaven.
I would say that now we're going to be starting the month of October, which is the month of the rosary. And I think right now, with so much going on in the world, but I think I can honestly speak, what I'm personally thinking of is of the elections coming up in America. So I'm like calling to mind the fact that the rosary is a gift from heaven. It was given to us, and we've been told that it is a weapon. It is a weapon that all the forces of evil fear. And we have this last month, you know, so which is dedicated to Holy Rosary. So I encourage everyone, as much as possible, really pray the rosary and pray it well. Really just pray it from the heart. And just remember what Father Don Calloway said, the champion of the rosary nowadays. He says, the rosary is a lightsaber. The rosary is a sword. Mm-hmm. The rosary is whatever speaks to you. That's what a rosary is. So I would just say, just really like you just came from Medjugorje, and that's what Our Lady says, really pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Pour yourselves when you say the rosary, any prayer, but specifically the rosary, really just, you know, because it really does mean a lot to heaven. And whether we see it or not, but there is fruit every time someone prays the rosary. So just don't lose this opportunity now.
And I remember Immaculate, when we went to Medjugorje another time, Immaculate was there, and it was Our Lady was appearing to children in Rwanda. Rwanda. Yeah. And so, and the lady had said, instead of saying pray from the heart, she said pray with sincerity. So it's the same thing. When you're praying from the heart, you're praying with sincerity, you know. Mm-hmm. So those are our last words, Peter. Back to you.
No, those are great. I have nothing to say after that. You said everything. But I think it just teaches us that this divine will is so great, so mysterious that, you know, when we pray, I've been trying to pray more, not what I want, but what God wants. So, Lord, whatever your will be in this particular situation, let it be done. And I know that if I get whatever I'm hoping to get, it'll be your will. If I don't get it, I realize that there's a greater good of me not having it. Because it's something like I've learned over the year, especially with the big fall that I had from my late 20s to now. We pray for everything God has given us and thank him for everything he has not given us.
Amen.
Our lady said, always be content. Mm, always be content. Mm. Yeah. Because everything comes from God.
It's the good and the bad.
Mm. Yeah. And another thing we didn't mention, but again, the approval of Medjugorje. I mean, God is really pulling out the stops right now. He's giving us every opportunity.
Father Gobi, Medjugorje, Gobi.
Luisa, yes. Boom, boom, boom. It's been a busy year.
No,
we're not done yet. We still got our God is busy. He's working.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to be ramping things up for October for that exact reason you talked about, for the election coming up, for the month of Our Lady. And also, it's a very important month to me personally here at Mary's Hill because it's it'll be actually October 13th of this year, which will be 10 years to the day we first heard the name Luisa Picaretta.
Wow.
That's our first time we heard it from
Our Lady of Fatima.
That's why we were gathering, and it was Deacon John Thompson who was here who uttered those words. Yeah, we used to meet every 13th of the month on Our Lady. So, in essence, we know, and I know, that Our Lady of Fatima brought the divine will to Mary's Hill. So, and we're so grateful for that. So, stay tuned. We'll be raising the ante for sure. Sisters, thank you so much. Thanks be to God. Thank you for your vocations.
Thank you, Peter.
Sister
thank
Gloria,
you,
welcome back. Don't go away again, please. I'm going to
stay with us forever.
Stay with us forever. I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to and say goodbye until we meet again, sisters. Hey. Love you.
Love you, Peter.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Good night, sisters.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Texas.
We love you.
God bless you. Pray for us. We pray for you.